Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Joining us now is Stan McCauley, former candidate for mayor, an activist and businessman in the city of Hartford. And he's been on a couple times in recent weeks and is now joining us every week so that we can get his perspective on things on a regular basis, because we don't have enough voices from the city. Stan, welcome back. Nice to have you here.
It's good to be here, Todd. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, what's on your mind as you watch the unfolding events? It's been a week since we've spoken. What new thoughts jump out at you, or new perspectives have you gained?
It seems that the attention of the nation is turning to Black lives. Even to the degree that I guess Colin Kaepernick is being invited to come back and play football. And it's kind of ironic. One can't help but think, what happened? Would things be different had people actually taken him a little bit more seriously? Who knows? But one thing is,
well, if you put him though in a category, Stan, mm-hmm. that is people near the margins of decision making. So I never understood why. Okay, they didn't like him after he did the knee thing, but then you give him a year and then you let him go back with the team. I mean, why did that become a permanent thing? It seemed vindictive and unsportsmanlike of the owners and the league to make that a permanent ban. So that's one of those decisions that's being forced out of the darkness now, it seems to me, by the pressure that this crisis creates. Do you look at it that way?
I think your assessment is correct. But, you know, as they say, 2020 hindsight is perfect vision. And, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. At the time, you know, I think his statement was one of those things that people, I think therefore you should know. He knows why he's doing it. I think he resonates with people who understand why he's doing it. But all too often what happens in, you know, at Hartford, and I would imagine across the nation, is that we get into these echo chambers. And so we surround ourselves with people who agree with what we say, and we cheerlead one another. It's like the press having, you know, award ceremonies for themselves on how great a job they did. But never, ever
that's a good point.
An analysis from people who actually are impacted by what they do or say.
Yeah. Well, that's a powerful point. So what you're pointing to, it seems to me, I've been trying to communicate to certain listeners of mine who are stuck in a certain kind of knee-jerk response to things they don't want to hear about. That's how I view it. That I look at them and I say, but this is a moment that requires us to come with our hearts to the conversation, not our talking points. And there's a lot of people who have been pushing talking points, and I just don't feel like it's the time for that. And I feel like the NFL had every right to not want there to be protests on the place of work, on the field. But they didn't come to it with their hearts. They didn't say, okay, you're a valued member of our community, and by the way, you happen to be of the majority race of the people who work for us. So we have a compelling interest and a human interest in listening to what it is that you have to say, and as your fellow human beings, figuring out how we can solve this problem together. And that's what it seems like nobody does.
You're absolutely correct. I think the forward-thinking manager, the person who understands people, would say, all right, this guy's taking a knee, center stage. He's obviously willing to set himself on fire for a cause. Maybe there might be something to this. Now, he's not going to use our platform and our time for it, but before we just, you know, unceremonially have a knee-jerk reaction, what is he trying to say? And I think that that might have done them well. But once again, it's 2020 hindsight. But your comment about the people having knee-jerk reactions and speaking to their talking points, I think that you are championing a opportunity for people to broaden their horizon and maybe taste some of the things that they never try on the menu. That doesn't mean they're going to like it, but at least you could give it a try. And, I happened to listen to your program during the week. I think it was yesterday. Some people were really pushing back on one of your guests. And that boldness to explore, to boldly go where most won't dare, into the wonderful world of new thought, new ideas, is a valuable thing that you are bringing to WTIC and to the area, because now people have an opportunity to have the very difficult conversations that we actually never really have. We always talk about having them, but as I like to tell people, talk is cheap. Anyone can talk. Where's the action? And the action is opening the platforms to have those kinds of conversations so that we can even begin to figure out what it is about the conversation that makes us mad. You know, change is not easy, and it's sometimes very bruising or crushing. It's like a married couple going through marriage counseling. You know, if we want to get this thing resolved and we want to save this relationship, then we're going to have to get to the truth of the matter. Will there be a healthy, sustainable relationship between quote unquote black people, white people, or people who just have differences of opinion, differences of value in terms of what means something to me and what means something to another person? You know, rightfully so, many people believe that Americana is under attack, and it's under attack from many, many places, as we're, knee deep in a culture war.
So this thing you're saying about Americana, and also the you mentioned the different races, and I think the place we have to go is to not look at, it's not about how people get treated in different racial groups. It's about how Americans get treated. It's about how people have different experiences in our country and in our state and in our communities. And we have to be able to talk about those. And a lot of what I talk about here on the radio, Stan, is about how important it is to mistrust government, because I think government has become non-responsive to the needs of people. And what's going on right now with the less so with Atlanta, but more with the George Floyd killing, is that it was a horrible enough crime. It was such a demonstration of how systems can squeeze the humanity out of human beings so that they are willing to commit the most heinous acts in plain daylight with cameras rolling and people telling them to stop. I mean, it's unbelievable that humans can be pushed or squeezed or somehow put into a situation where they feel that that's an appropriate way to behave, and that they're willing to do it in front of the whole world. It's mind-boggling. And this represents a breakthrough moment. And while I share some of the feelings of those who don't like misrepresentations that get pushed into the public square as part of this kind of story, because there's a lot of people looking to kidnap this story, Stan, and take it in the direction where they benefit, particularly the politicians, as they always do. But we've got to come to it with our humanity and say, let's welcome each other's stories into our hearts so we can know how to respond.
Well, I think what we've lost in our country is tolerance. I mean, we don't have to agree to get along, and we don't, but we've become intolerant. If you have somebody who's willing to, you got one guy putting his knee on the ground in the middle of the national anthem, disrespecting the flag and the moment in the eyes of many. And then you have another guy putting his knee on somebody's neck, disrespecting the value of that life. And so you see people exercising power as they see fit disregarding everyone else. And while one's knee on a football field may make a statement, it doesn't take anyone's life. But when your law enforcement officers do this in plain sight, then it represents more. And there's a tsunami of conscious shaking. You know, it's like the theology that our governments, you know, you've got the Republican theology and the Democratic theology, and there's this big theological warfare going on in the minds of many, because the fact of the matter is these things are happening in democratically controlled cities under, you know, with police officers that are supervised by Democratic governors and Democrat mayors and Democrat city council people and Democrat appointed police chiefs. Yet they want to cry racism, but you're the ones who have to hold your elected officials accountable. Suddenly there's this collision of irreconcilable arguments that people are making, and they're smacking themselves in the face with these arguments like something is really, really wrong. And everybody.
But Stan, what's the discussion at the street level, not the political level? What are regular people talking about that dilemma that you're describing? Because it's inexplicable to me, this utter brainwashing that seems to have gone on, where people aren't able to address that issue or even sort it out in their own minds, that the political party and the elected officials they think are their close friends seem more like their enemies in this situation.
On that, politicians are right to be afraid all the way around, because people are waking up. And now we have, you're right on the edge of revolution. It's a cold revolution. It's not a hot revolution. It's a cold revolution, and people want substantive change. I think a lot of politicians are making the mistake of thinking, well, we'll wait this out. We'll do some token stuff, but they're gonna
find, exactly.
They're going to find that is going to be their death knell, because people realize that their vote matters. And the reason people generally stay home on voting day is because you're good to go. You know, I worked hard all week. I get a cheeseburger and a coffee, a beer and a soda, and I chill. I don't want to have to worry about when my garbage is going to be picked up. I don't want to worry.
Yeah, the politics will take care of itself.
Right, until it doesn't. Now people are upset, and they're upset on all sides. And so why isn't this working? Something is not working. You know, you've got something's not working. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but they will before this ends. They'll put their finger on it. And when they realize, oh, wait a minute, the people over in the ivory tower are responsible for all of it. The potential is you seeing what's going on. You know, you were talking about the death in the nursing home. I mean, you know, here's a place where you have a total control of the people who are inside. You can't provide a modicum of assistance for the people who are, you know, talk about shelter in place. I mean, this should be one of the safest places on the planet for seniors, yet it's the most dangerous place, it would seem. Yet you're telling me if I stay at my house and if I go up one aisle and down the aisle in the supermarket, I'm going to be safe. Well, what about the safest people on the planet in our country who seem to not be safe at all? And there's all these contradictions that people are trying to sort through. And when they clear their head and start realizing what's going on, I think people are going to get a sense of we've been bamboozled.
That's when the cold blaze burns. I like that. I like that idea of a cold revolution. Stan McCauley, community activist, businessman in the city of Hartford. Thank you. We'll see you again next week.
All right.
Great to talk with you once again. That's the kind of conversation I want to have. I want to step across perceived boundaries, because there are no boundaries other than the ones inside of us.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.